This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends, on this Monday. God bless you. Happy Monday to you. Hope you've had a wonderful weekend. We're tuning into God's frequency here now, WGOD. God is always broadcasting. He always has a word for you. And looking forward to getting into today's program. And I've decided I'm going to do a lot more live or semi-live. I'm here behind the microphones here recording today's program, so I'm not live in the studio, so to speak. But we're going to hear a lot more of programs like this as opposed to only the Sunday sermons. You'll still hear the sermons, which I preach here on Sunday, or that my associate pastor, Darren Solana, preaches. But we're going to hear a lot more of live stuff here as opposed to some of the older sermons. So, and we just started on Friday, the book of Revelation. So that's where we're going to be now. Those will be the two programs you hear here is live stuff here, recorded live, fresh, brand new, and the sermons, which were just preached on Sunday, which normally are long enough to break up into 2 days. So those are some of the things you're going to be hearing here. I'd love to hear your comments as well. My email address is elected77@gmail.com. I have an outline for this book if you'd like that. I have an intro here before we get started, because it's key. How you interpret the book of Revelation is key. And various groups, in my humble opinion, interpret the book wrong. When you spiritualize everything, you interpret the book wrong. For instance, when we get to chapter 19, as a matter of fact, let me read that. Let me read to you Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. It says, "Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who works signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two," that's a T-W-O, the number two, "these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword who proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh." When we read here, as we're going to be reading in the coming days and weeks, when we get to chapters 13 or so, and when we read of seven heads and 10 horns, but especially the beast, chapter 13, I saw a beast that came out of the earth, and we saw a beast that came out of the sea. And when we read that, you have to interpret that this is a person, not a nation, not a conglomerate, and it's not a system. It's a person. Because chapter 19, verse 20 just told you. It's a masculine pronoun there. Him. And the word two. These are two people. The beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet are people, not conglomerates. They're men. They're going to see their doom. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Matter of fact, that's a good trivia question. Who were the first two people to be thrown into the lake of fire? Who were the first two inhabitants of the lake of fire? Answer, the Antichrist. Now, it's not me or us. I mean, John calls him the Antichrist. We read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, the Bible calls this end times man the Antichrist. The Apostle Paul calls him the man of sin, where he says the day of Christ, this rapture everyone talks about is looking for, that won't happen until the man of sin is unveiled, the son of perdition. So, no one understands when we read beast, it's talking about a man and the false prophet, and the Bible calls him the false prophet as well. Same verse, chapter 19, verse 20. So it's not a conglomerate. It's not a nation. It's not a system. It's a man. So I encourage you to interpret the Bible, interpret the book of Revelation through what's known as the futuristic. There's the preterists that you'll run into. Maybe you go to a church that believes in preterism. That is, they believe that Matthew chapter 24, remember, what'll be the sign of your coming? What'll be the sign of the end of the world? Preterists believe that all of Matthew 24 has already happened. That whole discourse that the Lord gave, what'll be the sign of your coming? What'll be the sign of the end of the world? All that already happened. They believe the book of Revelation has already happened. They think that Nero was the Antichrist. They think it was written in the year 68 instead of the year 96. They believe Nero was the Antichrist. They believe all of the book of Revelation, except for his return, has already happened. And I think that's an incorrect view. The way to view this is after we get through with chapter 3, that from chapter 4 all the way down to the end, when it says we will see the face of God and the tree of life will materialize again, all of that is future and it hasn't happened yet. I'm going to go out on a limb and believe that we have not seen the great tribulation yet. We have not seen the two witnesses yet. We have not seen the whole world seeing two people dead lying down on the ground at the same time. We have not seen the great cataclysmic destruction of the end of the world, where Peter says, remember, the whole earth will melt with fervent heat. Zechariah the prophet says men's eyes and tongues will dissolve in their sockets. I'll go out on a limb and say, I don't think that's happened yet. Okay, now again, futuristic, that's premillennial. Doesn't have anything to do with the rapture. Premillennial, now millennia is 1,000. It's 1,000. Premillennialists take the word of God literal and believe that Jesus, when he returns, is going to set up a kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. Because the Bible says so. Chapter 20, he says so half a dozen times that we will rule, that he will rule and reign for 1,000 years. And it says for the 1,000 years, and that we will reign with him, as he promised. So, okay, again, let's get into the word here. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 3. Well, let's pick it up here from the top. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, remember, well, maybe you not remember, maybe you don't know, the word revelation is the word apocalypsis. It means to take the cover off of something. So it means the unveiling. So the unveiling of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, that would be God the Father gave him, to show to his servants, that would be you and me, the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all the things that he saw. All right, now here comes the first beatitude. We looked at this on Friday. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and who keep the things written in it, for the time is near. You're blessed if you read it, You're blessed if you've got ears to hear, because not everyone does. And you're blessed if you keep it, if you keep the words which are written therein. Keep the words written therein. Blessed is he who stands up for the word of God. Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Blessed is he who calls sin, sin. Blessed is he who repents daily. Blessed is he who tries to live right. And blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are all of us that keep the words written therein. Now, verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Now, there's the name of God right there. That's why we read in English, man's feeble attempt at putting the name of God in English. It's just, I am. When Moses said to God, Lord, when they ask me what your name is, what should I tell them? That's Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said to him, he said, ego, eimi, ho, on in Greek, which literally means I am the being. So you tell the people, you tell the Israelites, that the being has sent me to you. That's from the Greek Septuagint, Old Testament. I am the being. I am the, I am, or that's why in English sometimes it says, I am who I am. We read in the King James Version. I am, it's the verb to be. I am, you are, he is, I am. So this is the very name of God here. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. I am. He's always existing, right? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I am. Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits. Now, I've translated that sevenfold spirit. Seven spirits who are before his throne. Seven is a number. We're going to see a lot in here. Seven is the number of perfection. Verse 5, and he's on the greeting here, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So there's the Trinity in the greeting. From him who was, again, is the name of God. Greetings from the being. Notice his name just spans time. I am. As the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees, we read in John chapter 8, verse 58, he said, before Abraham was, he said, "Prin Abraham genestai ego eimi." That is, before Abraham was, I am. And a greeting from the Holy Spirit here as well. This note comes from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It says the seven spirits probably refers to the Holy Spirit. See Isaiah chapter 11. Though it is an unusual way to refer to the third person of the Trinity. And I think Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 might shed a lot of light on this. And greetings from the Son of God. Greetings from Jesus, who is. You see, that's a great place, too, to build doctrine. Who is Jesus? So tell us more about him. Who is the faithful witness? The firstborn from the dead? He's the prince or ruler of the kings of the earth. Is how he describes himself here. Greetings, right, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, and the prince or the ruler of the kings of the earth. All right, first of all, witness, I would say, or ask the question, he's a witness to what? Well, first of all, he's a witness to the existence of heaven. We read in John 14, 2, the Lord Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So the Lord Jesus raises his right hand, puts his left hand on the word of God, and declares that you can have eternal life and spend eternity in heaven and see the face of God and finally understand all of this if you call on the name of the Lord and receive him as your Savior. He's a witness. He's the faithful witness. He's witnessing to you and I today, friend, that heaven is real. This book was written by eyewitnesses. The Lord Jesus is the faithful witness as opposed to unfaithful witnesses, witnesses who lie on the witness stand. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He says, my words are spirit. My words are life. He said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And that he told Pontius Pilates, he said, I have come to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. He's the faithful witness. He is the witness to heaven. He is the witness to the existence of hell as well. Mark chapter 9, verse 42, whoever shall offend one of these little ones, that's one of these little children here, whoever offends one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone was hanged around his neck and he was cast into the sea. So he is a witness of hell. He's a witness to heaven. He's a witness to hell. He's a witness to the very heart of God. John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. So, he's a witness to heaven. He is a witness to the existence of hell. He is a witness to the very heart of God. The Lord Jesus is living proof that God loves you. If you're wondering if God loves you, go to the cross. God demonstrates his own love towards us. The love of God is on display at the cross of Jesus Christ, where God's Son died. And that, as I say to my church family all the time, that is the charge over all humanity. Is that God loves you. His desire is for you to spend eternity with him. Back again to verse 5. Greetings, he's in the greeting here, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the rulers of the kings of the earth. All right, so the firstborn or first begotten from the dead is the Greek word prototokos. Now, let's understand this word better. The word here, firstborn, don't pay attention to what the Jehovah's Witnesses tell you because they believe erroneously that Jesus is a created being, and that's not what this word means here. The word first, the word prototokos means preeminent and a ranking member. Like what they write there on the bottom of your American Express card, a ranking member or a member since. You see, he is the ranking member. He is preeminent over all. We read that in the Bible. It's Colossians 1:15. It says, Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn. There's that word, the prototokos. The firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. He's not a created being. He is preeminent over everything. We read here in Colossians 1:16, by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the ranking member over the dead. He is preeminent. That's why he said, I am the resurrection. That's what he said to Lazarus's sister, which he said, I know I'll see my brother again on the resurrection of the last day. And he corrected her and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He is preeminent over death. He has the power and authority over death. He has crushed the devil in his death and resurrection. He is the ranking member. He is preeminent over death. He is not a created being. He's created all things. Don't be deceived by these Jehovah's Witnesses. You got to read the whole text here like we have. By him, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. Visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Jesus Christ is he. Everything was created through him and for him. He reigns supreme. John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus Christ, again, is not a created being. He is God. He's God the Son. When Thomas saw him alive from the dead, he declared to him, my Lord and my God. Not only is he not a created being, he is Lord and he's God. God the Father calls him God. We discovered in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Even God the Father calls the Son God. Read it for yourself. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. God the Father calls the Son God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. Now, the last part of verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Normally, blood is the one stain that you can't get out of clothing, right? But in this case, blood is the one thing. Blood is the only thing that can make you white as snow. It's blood, and it's blood only. Blood is the only thing. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14 both declare, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sin. It's the blood that cleanses you. You know, people wonder, why the cross? Well, because the Son of God shed his blood on the cross. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. We read in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. That's what Jehovah says, Leviticus 17:11. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And all of this, just in the prologue, man, this is a power-packed verses here. Look at everything we've looked at here. Verse 6, and he's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now let's look at one last thing here with today's program. Let's look at the return of Christ. How is he coming back? This is verse 7. Let's pick it up there. Revelation 1:7, it says, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth shall wail because of him. Greek word kalpos. Then it says, even so, amen. Look at the reaction when Jesus comes back. It says, everyone's going to wail. That's not going to be my response. How about yours? After all this time, 2,000 years, we've been waiting for Jesus Christ to return and come back. Look at the world's response when the Son of God cracks the sky and comes back. It says everyone is going to wail here. The Greek word kalpos means to beat one's breast in anguish. Why? How can this happen this way? Well, let me tell you that by this time that this happens, you see, all the tribes of the earth are going to wail when Jesus comes back because everyone on earth, when he comes back, you see, they're going to look up and see him. Then they're going to look down. And right there on their right hand is going to be a little mark right there. And it's going to say 666. 6. And then everyone's going to wail. Then everyone's going to realize their husband was right. Their wife was right. The preacher was right. Their friends, their family, they were right. They were right all along about Jesus. They were right all along about their Christian faith. They were right all along when they anguished in prayer over their loved ones. Because when Jesus comes back, people are going to look up and everyone's going to wail when he comes back. That's not going to be my response. What's going to be yours when he comes back? You've got two choices if you're on the earth at this time when Jesus Christ comes back. Either, number one, you will rejoice, or number two, you'll wail as you look down and you see that you did what the ranking government at the time told you to do in order to buy or sell, in order to get along. In today's society, remember, this is a government. This is the one world government, which we're going to find out when we get, understand the symbol, understand the book, when we get to later, when we read the 7 heads and 10 horns relating to Satan and the false prophet. That's just, Satan is the ruler of the government. Satan rules the government is all you need to take from that. How are you going to respond when Jesus comes back? That's what I leave you with today. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. All the tribes of the earth are going to wail when he comes back. What is your response going to be when Jesus Christ returns? Will you rejoice or will you wail? We'll end it right there today. You are listening to WGOD Radio. We'll pick it up in the book of Revelation here coming up, but probably Thursday and Friday. You'll hear my sermon from Sunday here tomorrow. Will you rejoice when Jesus returns, or will you wail?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Hi friends, Paul Esposito here from 91.5 FM WMIE and WWBC Radio. We are pleased to announce that our brand new apps have been released and are now available in the App Store for you to download. So search for WMIE as well as WWBC and you can hear the awesome programming on these stations 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There also is a lot of programs available on demand. Some of the local programming here you now can hear on demand from your phone or tablet. So I encourage you, download these apps, WMIE and WWBC.